Good morning, Church on the Rock. Y'all don't know what to say, do you? Yes. Everybody's like, good morning. Trail off. My name is Jonathan. This is my wife, Christine. Could you guys welcome her to the stage? However you want to. I don't. Hi, would have been good. Clapping was even better, so thank you for that. We are the Woodrings. I know some of you know of us. We're going to tell a little bit more about ourselves, but we do that. Good morning, Church on the Rock, and you guys know that Rashad does that every week just to know that you guys are awake and that you're energized and you're ready to hear from God and from His Word. And so I'm going to do it one more time, and you guys could just say good morning, Woodrings, if that helps. So, ready? Good morning, Church on the Rock!
Good morning!
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we are so glad to be able to talk to you this morning and to share a little bit more about who we are, what we're about, and where we're going. And that's what we want to take this opportunity to do today. Those of you who do know us, we are looking to plant a church in Plainfield, Indiana, and that's what God has led us to. We want to share a little bit about that today and what that adventure, for lack of a, maybe that is the best word, I don't know, what that's been for us over the past few months and really the last couple years or so. So I just want to share how that idea came about and where that came from. Clearly, it came from God, first and foremost. Otherwise, we would just be crazy so to pursue something like this. So I just want to share a little bit about who we are and allow my wife to share as well her heart, because I want you guys to know this is a joint effort. This is a sacrifice for my family. This is not just me that this influences. This is my whole family had to uproot and leave. And so, Christine, just share a little bit about our past and our connection here and all that good stuff.
So most recently, we have been in Pennsylvania helping plant a church. We've been there for 8 years. The church became, it went from mission status to church status about 2 years ago, maybe three now. But it was around that time period that God started really convicting our hearts that there was something more for us. We kept having these conversations with our church staff that we're a church now. We need to stop thinking like church planners. We need to start making decisions as a church. And there was something in there that kept saying, but we're not, that God's not done with us in that type of ministry yet. So when that phrase kept being said, there's just something God's picking at that maybe we're supposed to do this again. Maybe God's not done with that. So even though we were in Pennsylvania for 8 years, I'm actually from Indiana. I was born and raised here. I grew up in a little town called Bloomfield.
Yeah.
It's just west of Bloomington. Aaron and I went to high school together. Jonathan's from the Anderson-LaPel area.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we know the culture here, and we love Indiana. We know the need for churches here, as well as in Pennsylvania. But there was something about coming back to Indiana because our hearts ache for the people here, and we have a burden for this community, and we love the culture of Indiana. We're Hoosiers at heart. So that's kind of what brought us back this way.
Yeah, and because it feels like home, hopefully many of you share this sentiment. I want my home to know Jesus. You know what I mean? I want my wife and my kids to know Jesus. And because this is home for us, this coming back home, we want our home to know Jesus. And there's something powerful about that. That may be the foundation of what brought us back here. And it took me a little while to wrestle that down because I didn't think we could come back. I don't know what that roadblock was in my head, but I didn't feel like I'm supposed to come back home. Doing ministry, living ministry, a life of ministry, that's supposed to be sacrificial, right? And so I shouldn't go back to the comfort of family or friends or what's familiar or anything like that. It's supposed to be more suffering than that, I guess. But just because the work is hard and the work is important and critical doesn't mean that it has to suck. it can still be good. And it can be where you are, and God can lead you wherever he wants you to go. This is where he's leading us. This is where he has us. And so it's been quite a bit of a process. So we've been praying over planting a church. We knew that was our next step. We've known for over a couple of years now that our next step in ministry was church planting. Couldn't ever really pinpoint where or anything, and didn't know the timing of it, but God revealed early on to us that you're not done with this. You're not finishing here. I'm moving you. And so we've been praying over that for a couple of years. We've been seeking God. We've been in his word and really trying to figure that out. And Plainfield has the need, and God gave us the desire. And that's just kind of the root of it, that there's a need there. There's a just like there's a need here in Brownsburg. And God gave us the desire to go to Plainfield and to make that our home. And that's really what it's become. It's more than a desire now. And we go there as often as we can, and Christine can share just what Plainfield means to us now as we've spent time in the area and we make trips there.
So we are probably in Plainfield 3 or 4 days a week, and it's come to the point where it feels like home. We don't live there right now, as we're in this process of getting everything together that we need, the finances and the funding, and getting our partners up on the field with us. But it feels like home. There's something life-giving about being there. It was a process, though. It wasn't something that was overnight. I remember when John and Megan Lau were talking about planting a church in Brownsburg. I remember thinking, where's that? I don't know where that is. And at the time, we'd been in Pennsylvania about a year. I remember opening a map, or maybe I pulled it up on Google, I'm not sure. But I remember looking for Brownsburg, and I remember seeing Plainfield, and that it jumped off the map at me. That, man, that'd be a great place. It's right by the airport. It's by Indy. It's got economic growth. And so families are going to go there. People are going to go there. And I remember just feeling this burden to pray for it, even though I didn't really know why. So I started praying 5 or 6 years ago that God would send someone there in our work, that God would send a church planter to plant a church there. And I didn't know that God was going to eventually turn our hearts towards doing that. I really think that because I'm stubborn and a little bit of a control freak, that God needed to give me time to get there, and that he knew that Jonathan wouldn't need as much time with that. So, I really think that that's why God had me feeling convicted to start praying for that area then, is because I needed that in order to be ready. So with that said, we've been through this process of this last year of preparing to plant this church. And there have been times where we've questioned, is this a personal desire? Is this a desire that God's given us? And, God has confirmed over and over and over again that this is what we're supposed to do. So now we're looking at that this is a matter of obedience, not what we want. It's obedience to God. So no matter what happens with finding a sending church, whether that's you guys or somebody else, no matter what, we have to go, because that's what God's commanded us to do. That's being obedient to our calling, to his calling on our life. We have to go to Plainfield.
Yeah, and one of the things that has really struck me and us both, we've been reading through a book, and there's a quote in the book. It's called Letters to the Church by Francis Chan, and he makes the statement that I would rather make a mistake, or I would rather be wrong trying to obey God than ignore it altogether and do nothing. And that's really where we are with this. If we're taking out this step of faith and it's the wrong step, at least we stepped. And we did it in an attempt to be obedient to God. It wasn't out of rebellion. It wasn't out of disobedience. It wasn't of our own thinking or our own desires. We're trying to be obedient to God. And those of you who have kids, maybe you can relate to that. When your child tries to do something out of obedience, tries to do something beneficial or helpful, and they make a mistake, and they mess up, the mistake is so much more forgivable, right? Because they tried to do something out of obedience. They were trying to do something good, and their heart was in it. And so that's just kind of how we're approaching it at this moment, and God keeps affirming it and confirming it as we go along. So we've really asked God for two major requests. We've asked God for a lot through this process, and believe me, it's a process. But the two big things was to provide us a team to go with us, because we don't think that we're supposed to do this alone. Obviously, we have God, but we believe that He brings people around us to do it. And then a sending church. Those are the two things that we've really been begging God for. And God has provided the team. We have two families coming up from Arkansas that we've known for years, probably a good 15 years now. And the Souths are one of them. They visited last week. I think they were here at the early service. And then the Pipes, Jason and Jennifer Pipes. And not only them, but there are other churches that are already involved. Springfield Baptist Church, which is the church that Jason pastors, they're sending him out. They want to be a part of this. They're wanting to support the saints. and that'll make more sense in just a moment, but that is their heart. And so it's not just that these two families are in it. We already have other churches. We have churches already supporting us as we head out on this grand endeavor to go reach people in Plainfield with the gospel. And just to see that God is providing and confirming through those things. And so we're still looking at that sending church and saying, God, we're begging you to provide that. We don't know who it is. And I know that it's been discussed. It's not like it's secret. It's not an elephant in the room that our name has come up here. And the idea of being a sending church for us has been mentioned. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today as we continue on. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians, if you guys want to turn there. And we're going to be jumping around. We're going to make one quick visit in chapter 7, but we're going to be looking at chapters 8 and 9, the whole chapters. Both of them will be done probably around 2, 2:30 if we're lucky. So, wow. A few people knew that was a joke. I'm joking, okay? We won't be here that long. We're going to be jumping around and just kind of sharing the truths that are found in these chapters and have the context wrapped up. So in verse 7, or chapter 2, or chapter 7, I'll get there. Chapter 7, verse 2, it's on the screen. It says, make room for us in your hearts. And that's the one that I really want you to pay attention to. It says, we wronged no one, we corrupted no one, took advantage of no one. And so make room for us in your hearts. One of the things that I don't know if you realize, but we've made room for you in our hearts, just naturally. It's not like a, you know, we'll scratch your back if you scratch ours. You're just in our hearts. That's just not going to change. You've weaseled your way in, so to speak. So we're just asking you, make room in your hearts for us. We're on this adventure, and it can be lonely sometimes. And you've already been there for us. And we've gotten to know some of you, and we've started building relationships with you, and we look forward to building and beginning more. So we're just asking, just consider this, to make room in your hearts for us as we look to plant in Plainfield, Indiana. I want to look at verse 4 in chapter 8 now. So if you'll jump to chapter 8, and then we'll spend a bit of our time there, and then we'll move from there to chapter 9 as well. But I just want you guys to see some of these things, because as we move on, we ask and we hope and we pray that individuals and churches and whoever, whatever, will come alongside us and partner with us, because this is a partnership. We can't do this alone. God's behind it, first of all, right? We'll try that one more time. God's behind this, right? Okay. But it also takes His people. That's how He has organized it. That's how He has structured it. That's how He has set it up. He uses His people. He uses His children, His churches to make these things happen. And so let's look at verse 4 for just a moment. It says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And what I want you guys to realize, just to give you some context, he's talking about the Macedonian church at that moment. And he's saying, they begged us that they could be a part of what we're doing. They begged with much urging for the favor, for the opportunity, the privilege. When we think of a favor, we're thinking somebody's doing something for us, right? On our behalf. Will you do me a favor? So the Macedonian church is saying, will you do us the favor of allowing us to participate with you in the support of the saints? Do you see their hearts in that? Like, how amazing is that? That this is a favor for them. This is a privilege for them to be a part of. Will you please allow us the opportunity to take part in supporting the saints? And as we look at that, support can also be translated relieving the saints, to taking the pressure off of the saints. It means to share or to be allied with, to have a mutual relationship for a common purpose. That's what that phrase means. And the Macedonians are saying, we have this common purpose that we're trying to chase, that we're trying to pursue, and we can't do it there because we're here. So will you allow us the opportunity to support those who are there? And that's how Paul kicks off this portion of this letter. Let's jump down to verse 7, if you will, for me. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance, or in what you say, in knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. What gracious work? The work of supporting the saints, right? In relieving the saints. He says, I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. We're going to sit there for just a minute, and then we're going to come back to it. But what I want you to grab from that is that God generously gives to us in order for us to give generously. He generously gives to us. And the reason I say that is because we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve for God to give us what he's given us. So then what are we doing with it? We took it from God. What are we doing with it? Are we giving generously as well? Are we actually to be like him? Are we actually trying and striving to be like Jesus and to give the way that Jesus does? And so I want to flip this. We've kind of talked about why not us. That was us sharing our vision that God has given us for Plainfield, our past, the connections there. Why not us? Believe me, I ask that almost every day. Actually, I ask the opposite question. Why me? Why us? But God, as we've talked about, has shown, understand, is first, as we kind of backtrack through the scripture we just read, it says in verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in the love that we inspired in you, or that people have inspired in you, that your pastor inspires in you, the people in your life inspires in you, abound in this grace also. And what I want you to understand is, as a church, you guys are doing phenomenal. And I don't say that to pat you on the back, because I know churches that aren't. They're stagnant. Some of them are dying. But Church on the Rock is thriving, and you're alive in your community. And that's not just Rashad, and that's not just the Lows who helped get this thing off the ground. And it's God working in and through you all. You are Church on the Rock. Church on the Rock is growing. Church on the Rock is affirmed in your faith and in what you're doing. How do I know? Because I look around and I see all these people in a second service. And it was probably this full in the first service too. I look at a church that decided that on faith, as you abound in faith, decided to take a step out and just like that go to two services because you saw the need. Who does that? People who have faith and people who are crazy. And you might fit in both categories, but that's, I want you to understand that. I want you to embrace that, and don't, this isn't an aw shucks moment, and this isn't a, you know, turn red and act all humble and everything. This isn't to make you proud anyway. This is God's doing through you. So first of all, the glory goes to him, but he is using you. We are seeing people's lives changed because of Church on the Rock. We're seeing a church that was averaging less than 100 a year ago, and now you're at 200 on any given week because you're reaching people. We see how you're affecting the community. We hear about Church on the Rock from people who just know about you. And then here's the big kicker. We hear about you in places like Arkansas, like Podunk, Arkansas. I think that's a real place. I don't know. But there are people all over the country and probably throughout the world that know about Church on the Rock. And it's not, again, because of a great pastor or a great church planter. That's because of what you're doing. You're stirring up your city. You're making noise. But you don't stay there. You don't stop because you're like, oh, okay, we're good. No, you keep growing. You keep moving forward. You keep taking those next steps. And so I want you to understand that. I want to acknowledge that about you. And Christine as well has some specific examples that she wants to share because of your impact on our lives.
So I wanted to specifically talk about the aspect of love. When we were still in Pennsylvania, we were hearing what your church was going through. Back when Rashad first went full-time and Louis Urbanczyk became real sick, and then there was multiple other people that ended up in the hospital during that time period, and we got to hear and pray for and with you guys from Pennsylvania what you guys were doing and what you guys were going through and the way that you, as a church body, lifted each other up and supported each other and just loved each other. And then when we came, you know, as we were getting this church plant thing started, we got to see in person how you guys do that with the love that you showed the Allens with what they've gone through this year and how you're continuing to love them through this journey. That was something that I was scared that I was going to miss when we left Pennsylvania. I cried during first service, and I don't want to cry again, but I might. But when we left Pennsylvania, I knew that we were leaving those kinds of relationships. We left a church body that we loved and we still love like crazy. They will always hold a piece of our heart. And we knew that when we pulled away from there, that was a bit of a sacrifice. To do obediently what we feel God has called us to do meant leaving things that are good. And I remember having a prayer in the car. Jonathan was in the moving truck in front of us, and I was driving the kids, and our van was packed, and I remember having this conversation somewhere in Ohio with God, just tears streaming down my face of, God, you've asked us to sacrifice a lot, and it's worth it, and we're willing, and we want to do this because you've called us to do this, but I don't want to never have that again. I want to have those relationships. I want to have those people that love me, love our family, that I love, that I can encourage, that can encourage me. I don't want that to be gone forever. And I really thought that I wouldn't have that again until our church plant was off the ground and we had some disciples that were growing in their faith with God. That I thought that's when it would finally happen. But God has been so gracious in that he's allowed us to see and have that already here through your church. That he didn't make me wait who knows how long. He has allowed me to have that now. So I see the church growth through that.
Absolutely. And thank you, Church on the Rock. We said it in first service, and I want you guys to hear it as well. Thank you for loving us that way. Thank you for providing that for us, because it is difficult. We're in the preparation phase, and it's not easy. It's rough sometimes, but just getting to know some of you and knowing that you're praying for us and you're encouraging us and you invite us, like, between services, we've already been invited to a couple of different things. Like, that's what you've done for us, so thank you for loving our family that way and providing that home that we really thought we were moving away from. It felt like we picked it right back up because of how you have been to us. So I want to jump to verse 10 now in chapter 8, if you'll pick back up with me. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 10, it says, I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it, by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. And what are we talking about? The readiness to support the saints, the readiness to give to the saints. And so I got to ask you, are you ready and are you willing? As a church, are you ready and are you willing? And whether that's us in that conversation or not, that's where you are as a church. You've got a healthy church right now. Yeah, there are holes. None of us are perfect. There are things that we all need to work on and that you as a church even need to work on. But where you are right now, you're a healthy church. This is the next step. So whether that's sending us out or supporting us or supporting other missions or sending somebody else out, that's beside the point. I hope that it's us because I love this. I love the relationships that we're forming, and I love the idea of you guys be just down the road. We're 15, 20 minutes away, and we can encourage one another, and we can come cry on your shoulder, but we have you there to rejoice with us and share just whether it's resources or time or energy, and you guys being able to help support us in a financial way too. That would be beautiful. It's the best kind of partnership that I could see. But even if it's not us, that doesn't change that's where you are as a church. It's got to be somebody. Healthy disciples make disciples. Healthy churches make churches. That's what God calls disciples to do. That's what God calls churches to do. And so are you ready? Are you willing? You have to determine that. I can't determine that for you. And honestly, Rashad can't determine that for you either. You guys have to be willing to do that as a church. I mean, you could play along. And I used this example before. I could play like I'm in the NBA. I can pretend. That doesn't change the fact that I'm not, right? Thank you for not saying amen. Are you ready? We would love if it's us, but even if it's not, that's where you are. You're at this crossroads as a church. Are you ready? Are you willing? I want to ask you that as individuals too. Are you ready and are you willing to give? Because it doesn't just have to be the church. You can give in addition to, you can give in abundance to what the church is already doing, but also you can do that in your community. What and who are you giving to generously so that they can see Jesus? What are you willing to give for the sake of the gospel? Just ask yourself that for a moment. And I want to turn it back to what Jesus did for us. It said that he became poor. He was rich and became poor for us so that in our poverty, we might be made rich. That's what he was willing to do for us. So now what are we willing to do for him? What are we willing to do for the sake of the gospel? What are you, both as a church and individuals, what are you willing to do for the sake of the gospel? When you compare yourself to Jesus, this is where I start preaching to myself because this is where I'm like, whoa. Because I think I'm a good Christian until I read verses like this. And then I see what Jesus did, and then I'm like, no, I'm not there yet. He gave everything. He became poor. What are you willing to give for the sake of the gospel? Yeah, materialistically even. What are you willing to give for the sake of the gospel? You know how you get people's attention? You're generous. Because that's abnormal in our society. Right? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm selfish, though. I'll give to me all day long. And I give to the people that I love. What if I just give generously just because? That gets people's attention. And now you've opened the door for the gospel. What are you willing to give for the sake of the gospel? Does what Jesus did for you, does that grace that he gives us, does it spur you to want to be generous, to give back? Let's look at verse 12 one more time. And I want you to see this. It's not about what you don't have, or it's about what you do have, not about what you don't. I got that a little bit backwards, but it's about what you do have, not what you don't. And you can write that down, jot it down, try to remember that. About what you do have, not what you don't. This is what verse 12 says. It says, "For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." He's not asking us for something that we don't already possess. He's not asking us for above and beyond what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have, right? And this fills every context of our lives. If you're 100% alive, then that's what you can give, right? You can't necessarily give more than what you are. If all you have is the gospel and you don't have any other kind of teaching, any other kind of education, give what you have. Pastor Rashad preached last week about the man that was demon-possessed in the Gerasenes. He had no other formal education. He had no other formal training. He was begging Jesus to go with them, and Jesus said, no, you got enough. Take what you have and use what you have. Don't worry about what you don't. Just take what you have. He also told the disciples that the woman who only had the two mites, she gave more than those who gave out of their abundance. She gave out of what she had. It wasn't about how much it was. It's about what it represented, how much she gave. Give what you have. It's about what you do have, not about what you don't. If the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Let's keep moving along. Let's go to chapter 6. We're going to look at, chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 6 now in chapter 9. And this is still in that same context. Paul is still on this same theme as he's writing this letter. And I want you to understand, as we read this, that the desire has to be in your heart. Look at verse 6. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart." Not in what he has to do, but what he purposed in his heart, what he has decided. This is by choice. "Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Verse 8 says this, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality." That means the ability to give generously, freely, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. What you're willing to give, God gets thanks. So we see God, we see his glory, we're able to thank him for it, and we're not only able to thank him, we're able to thank him for what he's doing with it. He's the sower, he gives us the opportunity to have the bread for food, and as he gives it in abundance. This quote is talking about how the Israelites, they didn't have want for anything, they had enough, each to their own. And when we're willing to give out of what we have, God blesses that, and then we thank God for that, and the saints around the world thank God for it, and we see a harvest from it, we see people saved from it, and it's how God has designed it. It's about what you want, not about what you won't. It's about what you do have, not about what you don't, but it's also about what you want, not what you won't. What do you want? Do you want God to get the things out of it? Do you want to be generous out of what God has given you? Do you want to be generous in your grace, in your time, in your talent, and in your treasure? Do you want to be that way? Because let's be honest, we can get people to do things. Parents, we can get our kids to do what we want, right? What we want. They don't always do it of their own accord, though. They don't do it because they want to. So inside, they're like, I won't do it. I won't like it, you know. So that their attitude, their heart is a won't attitude, even if they do it, because they're only doing it so they don't get whipped, right? How many of us have hearts like that? Where we're just doing it because we're obligated as Christians. Paul says, I don't want you to do it out of obligation. I don't want you to do it out of compulsion. I don't want you to do it just because you feel like you have to do it. God loves a cheerful giver. Do it out of a want. So this is what I want to say to you, and this is coming from people who we're trying to raise money to support my family and the work itself as we go to plant a church. If your heart's not in it, don't do it. Amen. I mean, I'll say it. Jesus did it because he wanted to for us. That's what should compel us. It's about what you want, not what you won't. Only give if you're willing, if you're compelled to give. Is it worth it? Wrestle with that. Is it really worth it? We want to wrap up with this morning. It's about your eternal investment, not your immediate interest. It's about an eternal investment, not your immediate interest. What you do as a disciple of Christ leaves an eternal, a forever impact, has the ability to change people's eternities. The fate of people's lives rests on our willingness to be generous with the grace of God and with the good things that He's given us. It's about an eternal investment, not our immediate interests. Man, I'm all about my immediate interests. What's going to benefit me? How is this going to work out for me? You know, even the good stuff, even if it's not selfish, how am I going to support my family, right? How am I going to provide for my kids? But those are immediate interests. Those are the here and now. And those are things that they might go a generation or two, but they don't always go beyond that. But think about the people whose lives you've impacted for eternity. Got to have a conversation with Phil Tucker between services, and he had the opportunity to lead a man to Jesus. Can we give it up to God for that? I mean, there's another soul captured in heaven. That's an eternal investment, and that man's kids may never know who Phil is, or grandkids, or whoever. The friends in that man's life may never know Phil Tucker. But you know what? Because of what he did, because of Phil's obedience to give of himself, to invest a year and a half into this man's life, that man's eternity was changed. And who knows how many other eternities will be changed as a result. That's an eternal investment. That is a legacy worth leaving. And so are you eternally invested, or are you only concerned in immediate interest? Look at verses 12 through 15 with me. Verse 12 says this in chapter 9, "For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality, for the freedom, for the generosity of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you." And look at how he wraps up this idea. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, for his inexpressible gift." What is that gift? What is that gift, church? Salvation through Christ, through Jesus, right? He is the gift, salvation to us. That is the gift. And when you rewind back to chapter 8, it says that he who was rich became poor for our sake, so that in our poverty, he might be made rich, or we might be made rich. That's the inexpressible gift. That's the indescribable gift that God has given us. That ought to move us. That ought to compel us. It should drive us to want to be generous. And so I go back to it. If it's not about an internal investment for you, if it's not about what you want, then you don't do it, because you got other things you got to work through. The grace of God ought to drive us. It should spur us to want. So if you're not there, you got to get there. This is where it gets convicting. I want you to realize support, giving, that's not always, and maybe even rarely, monetary. It is monetary, but it's not just monetary. This is supplying the need of the saints, and that idea of supplying the need, this service in the ministry, it can mean ceremonial service to God, but it's also practical, material service to others. It's also giving of yourself. It's giving of your time. It's giving of your energy and your talents. It's giving of your treasure. It's giving and being generous to others for the sake of the gospel. That's why we do it. And when we do that, God is thanked and people's lives are changed. My life was changed because somebody saw fit to tell me about Jesus. I got to see it every day of my life, though. That's kind of cheating, right? My dad's a pastor. I've been in church my whole life. I grew up with the gospel. What about the person that told my dad? What about the person that told that person? And Christine and I, we have some parallels that kind of cross over in our history of our Christian walk as far as how we grew up, but she's got a really interesting take, and I asked her to share this about her family and what that looks like for her.
So I don't know this woman's name, and honestly, I don't know that it really even matters. This is a woman who realized and understood that there's few things that we can do with our lives that leave a lasting impact, except for the things that we do for God that affect eternity. She was my grandfather's next door neighbor when he was just a child, and she probably drove my great grandparents crazy, knocking on their door, just neighboring them, loving them, giving them cookies, inviting them to church over and over, and they always said no. And I think eventually, just to pacify her, my great grandmother said, "You can take my son." And so my grandfather went to church with her. He gave his life to Christ. And he came home and he begged his family to go to church, and eventually his whole family got saved. And because of that, there's now 5 generations of my family that have come to know Christ because of this woman. Yes. I don't have any personal stories about my great-grandfather, but this woman made a huge impact on my family, and I have a personal story about her because of what she did for eternity.
That's right. That's the investment that gets made. And how many more generations to come? I'm praying and begging God that my kids will do it too. And some days I see it, and some days I'm like, I don't know, God, these kids. But because one person was willing to give of themselves and look through the lens of eternity and meet the needs. Met needs equals eternal investment. That's what you do when you meet people where they are. That's what you do when you meet the needs of others, cookies and neighboring and just talking to them and giving her own time and herself to them. She made an eternal investment. I want to bring this back home for you guys, though, because I want you to understand that there are people all over the world still praying for Church on the Rock, but it started pushing a decade ago. And there was somebody who had it in their heart to give of themselves sacrificially and come here and to start something here in Brownsburg so that people's lives could be changed for eternity. And there were churches that said, yes, we see the need, we'll partner with you, and we will make the eternal investment in that because we know that it will have a lasting and everlasting effect. So churches that you probably, many of you don't even know the name of. Some of you don't even know the name of that guy. We've talked about him today already, but some of you don't even know who it is. But because he was willing to make an investment for eternity and he was willing to come and to give of himself and meet the needs of this area, meet the needs of some of you, you've met the needs of more people in your church. And Church on the Rock is here today and where you are today because of that, because of people all over, not just the country, but all over the world that are praying for you and remembering you and lifting you up and thanking God for what you're doing. And it's because someone was willing to see the need and meet the need. Make the eternal investment to give this an opportunity, to give this a chance. It's just our obedience to God. How many more people are going to be affected because of that? So I want to ask you as a church, as the worship team comes up, we shared with you, why not us? And we shared with you our story, and God's still showing us more and more of that. And I'm just asking, both as a church, but as each individual in these seats, as we've gotten to know you and some of you who we still don't know, why not you? Why not you, Church on the Rock? Why not move on to that next step? Why not you, individually? Why not move on to that next? What is God placing on your heart to do? How is he asking you and calling you to be generous? Does his grace compel you? Do you have both the desire and the readiness to do it? Because if you're ready, God's saying, go! Go do it. But it all starts with the desire. And you can only give what you have, right? So let's take it even a step back from that. Maybe you don't even have the desire because you don't have that grace of God. You haven't made Jesus your Savior. You don't have that relationship. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And then that's enough. Like, you can go after that with what you have. And as you continue to grow, the more you have, the more you can give, right? And so why not you? Is it worth it to you? Is the desire there? And so as you stand, go ahead and stand with us this morning. And as we worship God, and as we just spend some time considering the grace of God and how that should drive us to be more like Jesus as we're about to sing and as we've already sang. Maybe you need to come up and just pray to God for that desire, for Him to work on your heart and to mold you to want that. You can come and pray. You can lift your voices, whatever it is. Let's spend this time, the last few moments that we have as we're together, just worshiping Him.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. We hope that it has challenged you to grow deeper in your walk with Christ. If you would like any information about our church, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.